الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. أحمده سبحانه وتعالى وأشكره وهو أهل الحمد والثناء، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى أهله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who revealed the book to his servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and did not make any distortion to it. I praise him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted one and the high, and I thank him. It is he who deserves the praise and the gratitude. I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only one has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. O Allah, let your blessing and your peace be upon your servant and your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companion. So in continuation of our series about Asma'ullah al-Husna, the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, today's khutbah is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Wadud, the all-loving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and he, Allah, is the all-forgiving, the all-loving, al-Wadud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty, is Wadud, all-loving. His divine name, Wadud, is an emphatic name derived from the Arabic word wud, which means hub, love. This means that those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, most gracious, are pure, chaste, sincere, and faithful. The word hub also indicates submission and obedience to the beloved. Hence, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most gracious are dutiful and obedient to him. They are most modest, humble, submissive to the Lord, exalted and all high. The word hub also means instability, which in turn means that those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala almighty are in constant instability as regards their relationship with their beloved Lord Allah, glory to him. In one single day, they undergo 20 or even 40 different conditions that range between feelings of hope, fear, worry, tranquility, delight, pleasure, while hypocrites remain in one stable condition with their Lord because their hearts are dead. True believers who really love their Lord undergo constantly changing feelings as regards their relationship with him, while hypocrites whose heels are dead and hence emotionless remain stable and unchangeable. Also, the word hub or habba refers to a seed from which we get good fruits. This means that those who love the Lord, their love is like a seed that produces a shady tree that in turn yields good fruits. In fact, the word hub, love, embraces all of the forgiving meanings, purity, chastity, submission, humbleness, instability, growth, and good. However, there is still an accurate question: is al-wadud or al-wud is the same as al-hub? Undoubtedly, there is a delicate difference between both words. Al-hub means love, and as a noble feeling dwelling in the heart, while al-wud means love substituted by action. In other words, if you love someone, your inner feeling toward him are called hub. That's love that exists in your heart. But when you translate such love into action by smiling to him, for example, or doing him a favor, this is a wud. Love that you put into action. If you offer him a present, it is a wud. If you help him out of a problem, it is a wud. If you visit him when he is ill, it is a wud. If you offer him a present, it is wud. In short, inner feelings of love are hub, while outstanding substantial acts of love are wud. All those who have wud must necessarily have hub, but not vice versa. This means that someone might love but does not show that in his behavior. But if someone shows love to another, this means that he loves him in his divine book, the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, says, which means, and he, Allah, is all forgiving, the all loving. This means that the whole universe is but a substitution of Allah's wud, love for man. In other words, the entire universe with its heavens, stars, planets, the sun and the moon, rain, fishes, birds, animals, plants, flower is but a substitution of Allah's wud for mankind. Children who fill the home with life and movement are of Allah's wood. The great many kinds of fruits are of Allah's wood. Wives whom Allah created especially for men's psychological and physical comfort are of Allah's wood. Husbands who Allah created especially for women's comfort are of Allah's wood. Wool, which Allah created to protect us from cold, is of Allah's wood. All things that Allah has subjected for mankind are out of Allah's wood. The whole universe is subjected for man as a kind of wood from the Lord Almighty. Therefore, Al-Wadud is someone who translates his love into action. Here we have another crystal clear fact. When man loves, he becomes inclined toward the one who loves. If the one who he loves goes away, he feels painful. That's why lovers feel painful and cry sorrowfully when they leave one another. And that is why mothers cry sadly when their children leave them or are separated from them. But does this apply to Allah Almighty? Islamic theology says no. This does not apply to Almighty Allah. Inclination that entails pain or sorrow does not befit Allah Almighty, but it befits human beings who show submission and humbleness. When they love, when Allah Almighty loves someone, he honors and mercies him or her. Because he is almighty, all majestic. However, Allah's love for true believers is confirmed in his book, the Holy Quran. To this effect, Allah Most Gracious says, which means, O you who believe, whoever from among you turns back from his religion, Islam, Allah will bring a people whom he loves and who love him. who are humble toward believers, stern toward disbelievers, fighting in the way of Allah and never feeling fear of the blame of a blamer. Such is the grace of Allah, which He bestows on whom He wills. And Allah is all-embracing, all-knowing. Allah's divine love for man is manifested by His divine protection, help, victory, success, sending down mercy upon his heart, sending down peace and tranquility upon him, providing him with all the things he needs. This is Allah's divine love for man. But man's love for Allah is satiated by inclination and attachment, because of if Allah forsakes him or deprive him of his divine light, he feels unbearable pain and sorrow. Once man loves Allah Almighty, he gets inclined to him, seeks refuge in his divine shade, light, holy manifestation, peace and tranquility, and he feels that Allah is always protecting and helping him. But Allah's divine love for man means protection, help, support. And al-wudud is practical submission of both kinds of love. In his divine book, the Holy Quran, Allah Most Gracious says, and he, Allah, is the all-forgiving, al-wadud, the all-loving. The word al-wadud here means that Allah loves and honors his righteous slaves. It also means that his favors and blessings are but substitution and manifestation of his divine love for them. Allah Almighty is Al-Wadud, the All-Loving. The whole universe is but a manifestation of Allah's divine love, His wood for us. Animals, for example, remain all their lives eating one kind of food, perhaps barley or anything else, which is for them, as it were, appetizer, means meals, fruits. They eat nothing but barley or herbs. But man has a lots of different kind of foods, fruits to eat. In a perfume shop, you find thousands of fascinating perfumes, which are all of Allah's magnificent creation, are all manifestation of Allah's divine grace and bounty. It is Allah who created such perfumes and scent, just as He created the sense of smell that He enables man to enjoy such sweet perfumes. He, glory to Him, creates favors and senses that enables man to feel and enjoy them. This is Allah's divine wood. Hence, one meaning of Allah's beautiful name, Al-Wadud, is that He endures Himself to His slaves by bestowing His divine favors upon them. Therefore, logic and good reason show that the entire universe is nothing but a manifestation of Allah's divine wood, love for mankind. Now, when you offer prayers, observe the fast and perform the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca, and when you lower your gaze at an indecent, unlawful things, give charities, try to be honest and trustworthy, bid to good things and forbid evil ones, expend of your wealth, all such righteous good deeds are in fact real manifestations of your love for Allah Almighty. By such good righteous deed of worship, transactions and manners, you express your love for Allah, your Lord, Most Gracious. He, glory to Him, shows His divine love for us by creating this universe for us, by being our creator and maker, by subjecting the entire universe for our benefit and pleasure, and by preparing for us the paradise, whose width is as great as the heavens and the earth. While we show our love for Allah by believing in Him, by worshiping Him, by showing adequate obedience to Him, and by following His messengers, the good model of noble traits and generosity. In other words, the entire universe is a manifestation of Allah's divine love for man, just as all man's righteous good deeds are a manifestation of His love for His great Creator, Allah Almighty. And He, Allah, is all forgiving, all loving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wadood, all loving, for His slaves. And He displays His divine love for them through His favors that He bestows upon them. If someone invites you to his home, and when you get there, you find the house already warmed for you, the most delicious food and drinks already prepared for your pleasure, and the most beautiful flowers and roses put everywhere for your entertainment, don't you feel most grateful and loving to such a host? Don't you thank him profoundly and from the depth of your heart? Of course you do. Don't you say to him, by Allah, I can't be grateful and thank you enough? Of course you do. This is because man is enslaved by good favors. All such gratitude is for only an invitation or a certain favor. So what should your gratitude be to Allah, your Lord and Maker, who created you from nothing? Does not such a great Creator and Provider deserve from you all gratitude and thankfulness? Of course, He does. In this context, Allah Almighty, Most Gracious, said, means, has there not been over man a period of time when he was not a thing worth mentioning? But unfortunately, Allah's divine grace and bounty are often met with ingratitude and even denial on the part of the majority of people. You should extol from the depth of your heart, "Oh my Lord, all praises to you because you have created me and brought me into existence. Oh Lord, all praises to you because you have helped me know you. Oh Lord, all praises to you because you have helped me obey you. Oh Lord, all praises to you because you have enlightened my heart with your divine guidance. Oh Lord, all praises to you because you have inspired me to do good righteous deeds." Allah says to you, "I hear you, so speak out." You say, "Oh Allah, all praises and thanks to you." Some righteous people invoke, "Oh Lord, all thanks and praise, all favors and graces belong to you." Others say, "Oh Lord, all pure and perfect praises and thanks to you, as many as your creatures are." Just remember, the whole universe is but a manifestation of Allah's divine love for you. The never-ending favors and graces of Allah Most Gracious are infinite. When you go to the toilet, you answer the call of nature without any pains or problem. This is one of Allah's innumerable great divine favors, of which lots of people are headless. So this is just a reminder for those who will get admonished. When your heart and all other parts of your body work properly, this is one of Allah's uncountable divine favors and graces. In short, the entire universe is but a manifestation of Allah's love for mankind. Therefore, true believers should say what Allah's Holy Prophet taught us to say. Say, truly, my prayer, my sacrifice, my living. And my dying are for Allah, Lord of all the worlds. You should say, all my life, all my time, all my power, all my wealth, all my abilities, all my knowledge, all my children and family. All my work, all for Allah, the Almighty, and for His slaves, my fellow human, is good recommend with anything but good. Truly, my prayers, my sacrifice, my living, and my dying are for Allah, Lord of the worlds. Before Allah, Almighty and Most Gracious, created you and you brought you into existence, you were nothing at all. But from the moment He brought you into existence, He bestowed on you a couple of priceless divine favors. Have we not made for Him mad a pair of eyes, a tongue, and a pair of lips, and shown him the two ways of good and evil? The first divine gift man that receives from his Lord upon his birth is a very complicated operation, namely the so-called suck reflexive, which enables him from the moment of birth to take his mother's breast tightly with his small mouth and start sucking. Without such reflex, human life would be impossible. The second divine gift is your mother. But who is this creature? In fact, she is one of Allah's great divine signs and favors, for she is naturally predisposed to concentrate and even sacrifice all her existence for her baby. She devotes all her self, her nerves, her feelings and emotions, her power and her efforts for the sake of her baby. She reacts with most amazingly, as if it's part of her. Even if she is out on a visit to a neighbor, she still feels it and readily enough says, my baby has woken up and milk begin coming out of her breast. A father is a mere servant for his children, and so is a mother. They work hard to make them happy and help them make their way through life. Once again, fathers, mothers, and children should be looked upon as a divine gift from the Lord, Most Gracious. Air that you breathe and water that you drink are great divine favors. Purification of 1 liter of salt water needs more than 70 pounds in some countries. When you turn on the tap and get fresh, pure water, you should remember that it is a great divine favor from the Lord. What would you say about a different kinds of fruits? Even more, the Lord Most Gracious has endued you with an intelligent mind with which you think and take up a certain vocation or profession and do it properly. This is another great divine favor. Once again, the whole universe is a miraculous divine favor from the Lord, Allah Almighty. Therefore, all your living, dying, prayer, sacrifice, wealth, and worship should be for your Lord, Allah. Glory to Him. A man once asked the holy righteous scholar, O Master, how much is the zakah, alms, tax? The scholar asked the man, for you or for us? The man said, what do you mean by for you and us? The holy scholar answered, for you, the ordinary Muslims, the zakah is only 2.5%. But for us, the knowledgeable holy scholars, who knows the Lord, their Lord very well, the slave and his wealth are all for the Lord. Do you understand these words by which you begin your Muslim prayer? Say, truly, my prayer, my sacrifice, my living, and my dying are for Allah, Lord of all worlds. Thus I have been commanded, and I am the first of those who surrender to the Lord with Islam. This is the first meanings of Allah's beautiful name, Al-Wadud, the All-Loving. The second meaning is that Allah, the Almighty, is Wadud, All-Loving, for His slaves, in the sense that He, glory to Him, creates love and casts it among His slaves, who cast love for children in the hearts of the mothers. If you go to an infant hospital, you will find mothers from all kinds crying for their babies, regardless of they are Muslims or non-Muslims. Therefore, one of the meanings of Allah's beautiful name, Al-Wadud, the All-Loving, is that He, glory to Him, creates love and casts it among His slaves, fathers, mothers, husbands, mothers, siblings, friends. They all enjoy love among them. To the same effect, Allah Most Gracious said, and among His signs is that He has created for you wives from among yourself, that you may find repose in them. And He has put between you affection and mercy, verily, and that are indeed signs for a people of reflect. Who creates such affections and mercy? It is Allah, Most Gracious. Therefore, the first meanings of Allah's beautiful name, Al-Wadud, the All-Loving, is that He favors you with His innumerable divine favors, good health, fresh water, delicious food and drink, fruits, fishes, birds. Some kind of fishes are only for entertainment and not for eating. Why does Allah create them? Just for your pleasure and entertainment. Beautiful birds with their charming singing. Why does He create them? Just for your pleasure and entertainment. Nice perfumes and beautiful flowers and roses. Why does Allah create them? Just for you. An encyclopedia of 18 books about flowers, each page contains one or more pictures of too many kinds of flowers. Who create them, these flowers, for? They are for you. If you give a rose to an animal, it eats it. This is because an animal does not know that a rose is for smelling and not for eating. A rose is meant to be for human, not for animals. In winter, you may enjoy some indoor plants in your living room. Such indoor plants do not need a lot of sunshine. Therefore, there are also other kinds of plants that grow outdoors or in water. There are 300 kinds of grapes and many kinds of apples. There are also 3,500 kinds of wheat. Also, there are many kinds of oranges, some of which are juicy, while some are dry. Some are sweet, while some are sour. Some are small, while some are big. They are all but a manifestation of Allah's divine love for man. Hence, the first meanings of Allah's beautiful name, Al-Wadud, is that He loves His slaves. And the second meanings is He creates love and casts it among His slaves. When you attend a family meetings, you notice how loving and compassionate they are for one another. This is because man is a social creature, but who made such them people of the same profession sit for long hours talking pleasantly about their profession, doctors, teachers, engineers, merchants, workers, they all enjoy sitting together, talking delightfully about their jobs, professions, and vocations. This is but a manifestation of love and compassion that Allah cast into their hearts toward one another. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة supplicate my Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. The third meaning of Allah's beautiful name, Al-Wadud, is that Allah, all-loving, in sense that most gracious, seeks love of His slaves, just as they seek His divine love. And He casts love into their hearts for one another. And for Him, in this sense, this divine name has three meanings. Love from the Lord for His slaves, love from slaves to their Lord, and love among slaves for one another. That's why Allah's Messenger, peace be upon him, said, the sense of wisdom after belief in Allah is to seek people's love. Therefore, the wisest, cleverest, and best thing a believer can do after having believed in Allah is to seek people's love and friendship in order to help them know the truth. To this effect, Allah most gracious, all loving says, which means, and by mercy from Allah, you dwelt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from around you. So pass over their faults and ask Allah's forgiveness for them and consult them in the affairs. Then when you have taken a decision, put your trust in Allah. Certainly, Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. A Khalif once asked a scholar to admonish him. So the scholar said, I shall admonish you harshly. The Khalif asked in amazement, why harshly, my brother? Allah sent those who were much better than you to someone who was much worse than me. He sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh. Nevertheless, Allah bade Moses and Aaron to admonish Pharaoh gently. So why should you harsh me with like that? Who told you that admonition requires harshness? Imam al-Fakhr al-Razi, may Allah have mercy on him, was once of a great religious scholar of his time. He used to have a great prestigious and grand procession. One day after having delivered his usual speech in a mosque, he went out with his disciples. He was neatly dressed and had a bright, good-looking face. He came across a poor, miserable Jew. The Jew looked at him and told him, hey, you claim that your prophet says that this present world is a mere prison for a true believer, but paradise for a disbeliever. So what prison you are in and what paradise I am in? The Imam looked at the Jew and said, what I am in now is a mere prison if compared to which Allah has prepared of bless in the hereafter for His believing slaves. And what you are in now is a paradise if compared to that which Allah has prepared of punishment in the hereafter for disbelievers. At and said that the Jew gave Imam the word second thought, and he said, I bear witness that no one God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. The Imam's answer was indeed irrefutable. He wanted to say that all the glory and honor that he had due to his great knowledge and wisdom was a mere prison if compared to the paradise whose vastness is as great as the heavens and earth, which Allah has prepared for him in the hereafter. This is exactly what Allah's Messenger, peace be upon him, says: a true believer's transfer from the life of this present world to that of the hereafter resembles to the transfer of a newborn baby from its mother's tiny womb to the extremely vast world. In this context, it is worth mentioning that an embryo lives in the mother's womb, which is not more than 750 cubic centimeters big. This is because before pregnancy, the mother's womb is only about 2 cubic centimeters big, but after pregnancy it expands until it becomes about 750 cubic centimeters big in the end. Therefore, when man is born, he is transferred from his mother's tiny womb to the vast world. The same thing happens to a true believer when he or she transferred from the narrowness of this present world to the vastness of the world to come. And hereafter, a true believer will have whatever he desires and pleases. Allah Most Gracious addresses this issue. It means, verily, the dwellers of the Garden of Paradise, that they will be busy with joyful things. They and their mates will be in pleasant shade, reclining on thrones. They will have deranged fruits and all that they ask for. It will be said to them, peace be upon you, a saying from the Lord Most Gracious. It will be said to disbelievers, get you apart this day, criminals. Such is real heroism, to be safe on the day of judgment, to be of the dwellers of the paradise. We all strive. Man's share of divine name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wadud, is to seek love of other fellow humans. Therefore, you should be loving and friendly to young children, old people, poor people. In short, you should deal with all people with mercy and respect, irrespective of their age or social status. This is the way a true believer behaves. He does well to all people in order to call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his religion, Islam. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما رزقت وعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا كلها دقها وجلها أولها وآخرها ما علمنا منها وما لم نعلم اللهم ارحم موتانا واهد ضلنا ورد غائبنا واشف مرضانا واقض عنا ديننا ولا تؤاخذنا بما فعل السفهاء منا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وأقم الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا